is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to Survive to Thrive Tonight. I am the guest host, and we thank you, Steve, for, well, listen, you know, taking care of our bodies is a vital thing, and it is a tremendous thing. Take a look at the Survive to Thrive .net site, and, well, you know, engage, get involved. Listen, we are here tonight as a guest host Tuesday, August 31st. And it's 2010. We're talking about the dark side of the supernatural. And let me start by saying this. There's a man. He had a dream. I mean, he knows that something invaded his dreams, invaded him during the night. And he tells the story in a book that he's written. And as I begin to read the book, I'm watching and discerning. And, you know, from my point of view, I'm, you know, engaging the author. And I'm looking at what he's saying and, you know, this dream and this presence. And he actually goes on to say that this incredible engagement was scary, was dark, was menacing, a presence. It was bad. He doesn't even want to tell all of what occurred. And you know how some people get dreams, you know, at 3 in the morning or 3:33, as they say? All kinds of individuals get dreams, and there's an engagement. Let me tell you something before I tell you the rest of the story about this man. Back in the days of a bad and dark and oppressive and slave-laboring, demon-worshipping culture, the Babylonians. In Daniel's day, for those who read the book of Daniel, 56 temples, massively demonized culture, politic, military system, incredibly opposed to the God of heaven, but deeply a supernatural place. You know what happened? A demon-worshipping king is sent. Now listen, if you want to talk about Inception, he is sent a dream. He is sent a dream, and it bothers him so much that as the king of the land, he calls in all of the astrologers and all the sorcerers and Chaldeans, all of the wise men, all the supernaturally engaged wise men are called in. And the king says, listen, I'm going to give you all these gifts, all this massive wealth, if you will interpret the dream. Because it's keeping him up. It's disturbing him. He's deep. Listen, the king of the land. This is a man of battle. This is a man who chops the heads of individuals, gives orders to kill people. And yet he's disturbed by one dream. One singular dream comes to his head, and everything's disrupted in his life. It doesn't say in the beginning who sent it. It doesn't say where it came from. I'm going to tell you right now, they can come from south of heaven or north of hell. They can. In this case, he tells all of the astrologers and sorcerers, he knows the games they play. He knows the finite abilities, the partial accuracies that they have. And so he says, listen, I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. You're going to need to tell me what the dream is and then interpret it correctly. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. And they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it. And the wisest astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans and all of these supernaturally, I mean, the highest trained in the land could not do it. They couldn't tap into, with all their powers, all their abilities, all of their supernaturalism, they couldn't tap into it. You know why? The dream came from God. God sent the dream into the king's experience. You see, the dream's going to have everything to do with the book of Daniel. It has everything to do with prophecies about the end of days, about supernatural intervention, angels, about the Ancient of Days, the end of days, the Antichrist. It has everything to do with Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greeks, the Romans coming up in the future. Daniel is one of the most supernaturally interactive written revelations in all of Scripture. And it all begins with God disturbing a demon worshiping, demonized king of a demon-worshiping, demonized nation. And because of the dream, and ultimately where it takes Daniel, it brings down the demon-worshiping king. It leads the king to eventually, through a series of supernaturally engaging events, to finally acknowledge that the God of God is the God of heaven and earth. He's the God of all. He's the Most High. He's above everything. You ever read some of the declarations? I mean, the demon-worshipping king goes through all of these experiences. When he's arrogant, he's standing and he wants to, this is all my kingdom. I build it and everything. I'm not going to acknowledge God. So much like so many people. I mean, this reminds me of Dawkins and others. I'm not going to acknowledge God. Really? Whose air are you breathing? And why is your heart beating so supernaturally? He goes crazy. He lives among the animals for 7 years. He literally is like in a psych ward, his own psych ward. Until he acknowledges the God of heaven, the truth, instead of the demons and the lies. Only then does he come out of it. You know, it's really kind of a type of salvation. It's a type of what salvation is. It really is in this sense that that it's all about us in our insanity, in our sin, in our lying about God, being lied to about God, in our engagement with dark supernaturalism. Until we recognize the truth and embrace God and come out of the insanity and come out of the deception and come out of all of it. See, God is calling us to come out of the cesspool of the dark side of supernaturalism. It's all around us, going like crazy, all around us. Listen, I looking at the news today, I was reading about how in England, these new crop lines have come up. And interesting story, completely interesting. I mean, it's like a circle in lines, and you know everybody's interested in the crop circle issue anyway. But it's literally about England and their I'm reading here. Quote: "Of course, this summer's discoveries are really nothing more than faded lines, but they do offer a long lost look into English history." Now that captured me. Let me quote it again. "The lines out in the field, the circle, the so forth, it goes back years and years, and they say to the Romans, it's like Stonehenge and all the rest. What's it all about? It's all about the history. See, in England, well, there was Druids also. There was all kinds of, there was human sacrifice. There were giants. And so here's what it says, quote, "But they offer a long-lost look into English history. Some of the crop marks reveal an outline of what was once lightly built defensive enclosures," the BBC says. "Others reveal livestock and settlement enclosures, field systems, and trackways." Now that's about history. That is about history, but history involves, since the fall of the human race, the engagement. You know what it involves? It involves this, south of heaven or north of hell, supernatural engagement. There is a dark side. And listen, if you're new tonight, this is Russ Dizdar. The website that we are connected to, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. And we're a guest host tonight. Thank you, Steve Quell, for Survive to Thrive, the radio network. And as we share this tonight, there's a series of messages this week. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, every week you will see the series of live messages. There's a whole bunch of other ones, too. There's a series on dark rituals, dark powers, becoming powerful in prayer. And there we go. And listen, there is just so much engagement going all around us. Even right now, in this hour, I've experienced again and again that it's a supernatural hour, that it really is an hour where prayers have gone up. Angels and demons may battle. God is at work, but then so is the dark side. So take a few moments today and let's engage a little bit. I started off by telling you about a dream. I mean, the dream in this man's life eventually led him through a major path, and he wrote a book. I'll tell you the title in a moment here. But he goes on to tell the experience of the dream, the shadowy presence, the scary, ominous, dark. And again, he didn't even want to tell how ominous or how bad or how dark the experience was. But what happens next is that there is more guidance, more influence, more presence. And all of a sudden, he begins to get leadings and voices. As a matter of fact, he tells the story in the beginning of the book that he's going past a bookstore, and that guidance, that spirit, that presence, literally just as if it was going to shove him, move him, and guide him into the bookstore. He knew he had to go. There was a presence that was pushing him right to the occult section to get books on the ancient gods and goddesses, on the ancient doorways, on the spirituality that comes from south of heaven. And the doorways that would begin to open up. As I read, I'm seeing that he is going through this, spiritual synchronicity. It's real, it's spiritual, it's supernatural. And it guides him to research. Interesting that when it's finite dark presence, it will always lead you. They will always lead you to synchronize with more and more of their writings, more and more of their people, more and more of their events, more and more of their experiences, more and more of their revelations, more and more of their supernaturally given enticements. And he got more, and he got more, and he read more, and he began to pack his life with the content south of heaven, with the revelations that have developed, with counterfeit spirituality. Now the book by Mr. Hines, called Gateway to the Gods. Interesting title, isn't it? Gateway to the Gods. Why would he write Gateway? You know what he's writing about? How to get in touch, how to go back, how to get to the gods, small g. You see, they want communication. They want content. They want to tell humanity of the doorways that could be theirs. They want the, you and I do not realize the passion, the fury, the emotion behind the dark agenda as it's ramping up as never before in human history. Well, tonight is Tuesday night, and we're talking in this hour. Here's the title: Contact and the Laws of Engagement. Knock, knock. Who's there? It does matter. Now listen, for those who are believers in Christ, have you heard these words? Maybe you've heard these words. I'm not going to tell you the verse right away, but I'm going to read. They are actually, listen, the words of Jesus Christ many decades after the death and the resurrection of Christ. Decades after the resurrection of Christ, when the risen, ascended, glorified Christ makes an appearance to John on the Isle of Patmos. You want to hear the words? They're packed with God's power and presence. They are supernatural. Let me tell you right now, the Bible is the most supernatural book in human history. It is. I mean, there's a lot of supernatural books out there. I've engaged a number of books, and I'm researching constantly, and more stuff is coming from the ancient archaeological digs, and materials are coming up. There's a lot of books, supernaturally guided and written, but there is no book that is more supernatural than the Bible itself. Here are the words. They're considered alive. They're considered living. Get ready. Quote, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will fellowship with him and he with me." End of quote. Knock, knock. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there is vast supernatural engagement. The dark side is knocking. The dark side is guiding. The dark side is leading. Heaven is knocking. Heaven is seeking. Heaven is speaking. And here comes the living words. I've used these for 35 years in sharing with people that Christ is standing outside of life. Now, in the context, this is about the living Christ engaging a church, Laodicea, that had become so cold and backslidden and as if God was not even there. And God's giving an invitation. And all of us need to understand, God gives an invitation even to the weakened, backslidden church. Don't you judge the church. That's Christ's church. Only he has the right. And he has the right to revive it, to offer to it, and desire it to come back to full stature. But this verse has been used evangelistically over the years. And millions, listen now, this is incredible. Millions of people all over the world, whether in Russia, China, Europe, United States, have actually accepted Christ, received the Spirit of God, and come into relationship. Many of those people over all these years have died, and they're in heaven right now. They're right now with God in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord, because of this one verse and its application. Who's speaking? Christ. Decades after he died and rose from the dead, as he visits John on the Isle of Patmos. And these living words may be supernaturally, providentially arranged for you to hear right now. That's why I'm taking time to belabor. I feel the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. I feel him wanting me to belabor the point. I feel him wanting me to make sure this is very clear, because it involves God's love for you. It involves truth. It involves the supernaturalism that comes from heaven. It involves a way out of sin and eternal death and hell and Satan's grip. It involves salvation, healing, deliverance, indestructible immortality. You want to hear the words again? I'll tell you where it's at in the Bible in a moment. Many of you may already know. Quote, Jesus Christ speaking, and no one can give these words but him. Notice how personal they are. Notice that it's not just about an obscure experience. Notice that it's not a dark presence hiding behind something, engaging someone, pushing them, leading them, guiding them, but never revealing what or who they really are. Notice the words of Christ. Quote, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone," that's you. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. That is you. The living Christ is where you... Listen, if you're downloading this later and you're in Moscow, if you're listening to this and you're in China, a month later, I'm telling you the living words, the most supernaturally packed words, here they are. Jesus Christ speaks them. They're his words. Behold, I stand. He's standing. This behold means the idea of take notice. Listen. And then the word I. God in human flesh that lived that sinless life, died on that cross, buried, rose from the dead, ascended, glorified, going to come again. He reveals himself to John on the Isle of Patmos to speak these words. I, Christ, He alone. This is God in human flesh. You don't want a cheap, dumbed down, de-deified, psychic, ufologist, you know, fake, remote viewer Jesus that is no Jesus at all. This is the words of the Savior that loves you and that can literally walk into your life with all of His presence, His power, and change everything from the inside out. Do you know Christ, this Christ? Behold, I stand at the door of your life, right outside of your life, and knock. Here it goes, and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hear my voice and then opens the door. There's the laws of engagement, my friend. That's the law of engagement right there. Right now, when Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, I guarantee you, as an ambassador of God, as I read in Scripture, as if God is speaking through me to call out to you, as the living Christ lives through His people, and speaking, I heard this knock 40 years ago, then 38 years ago, then 36 years ago, then all of a sudden a man engages me, and it was obvious that the living Christ was beaming through His life, and He spoke to me. Oh, not just the man, it was Jesus. And this is what I heard, that He would come into my life, change my life, give me the gift of eternal life, turn everything around, forgive me, love me. That night I left the man that spoke these words, ran away. Hours later, I couldn't get it out of my head, couldn't get it out of my heart, couldn't get that loving, convicting, calling presence, the voice of God. See, there's many voices. Edgar Cayce heard voices. There's a lot of people, psychics and remote viewers are getting data, communication. A lot of people getting this communication all over the place. We've been warned that the dark side will ramp up and communicate like never before in human history with the goal of a masqueraded counterfeit. It would steal lives and bring more of their presence into this collapsing world than any time in all of human history. In the midst of all of it, here's the words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's the words of Christ. I hope you're listening. I hope you're ready. I hope you're... Listen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice... Talk about the voice of Christ. We're talking about the voice of the Savior. A demon speak. The devil spoke to Eve. The dark voices, oh, masqueraded in many ways, man, they're going to speak. They're the lures with the hook that will rip your soul far from God, put you on their platter of consumption. They will eat you for lunch. They're not concerned about anything but stealing you from God. Now, listen to the believers listening right now. Maybe the Spirit of God, maybe Jesus, will speak to your heart about getting this MP3 out to your friends. You know what I'm talking about. Here are the words of Jesus. Behold, this is for the Russians, this is the Chinese, this is for the Islanders, this is for those in the Philippines, those in the Netherlands, this is for those in Berlin and Paris and London and Pretoria and Bangalore and on and on and on. He came for the world. God so loved the world, sum total of humanity. Can I say the words again? Because they involve a contact. They involve the loss of engagement that we're talking about. See, the loss of engagement on both sides of the fence, north of hell, south of heaven, heaven has a communication. Heaven has a pursuit. God is pursuing your life. So is hell. And all the array of hell's agenda. There is a vast communication going on. One speaks the truth. I mean, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one else, there's no other way to come. No one comes to the Father, God, infinite God. No one comes to the Father but through. See, it's not a spiritual gateway portal, all that. It is not a ritual skull. It is not the Ouija board. It is not crystals with a presence on it. It's not the crystal skull with a presence on it. It's not aliens. It's not ancient demon gods from the Mayans. All of which are doorways. We're going to talk about doorways here in a moment. But we're talking about that God in Christ himself is the doorway to direct, immediate, personal, dynamic relationship with God that moves us to eternity. So I'll say the words again, quote, "Behold, I, Christ, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." Let's listen to Steve for a moment. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar again, guest host, Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Thank you, Steve. We are expressing, I believe, some of the most potent, incredible words that are absolutely supernatural, that absolutely have engaged millions all over the planet, all over the world, that have literally come to God, received the gift of eternal life, come to walk with God, know God, experience God. Many of those millions, because they've done this from years ago, have already passed away physically, absent from the body. They are instantly in the presence of God, and they're waiting. Waiting for the second coming in which the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive caught up, the great glorification. Do you know? Listen, we're talking about the dark side of the supernatural in the context of contact, engagement. I've mentioned to you, Craig Hines, the author of the book, Gateway to the Gods. Now, I've got books all around me. Literally, I'm getting 2 to 3 a week. I've got books everywhere. I'm a reader. And I got back home from Las Vegas this morning, actually, after 24 hours, about 11, 12 hours in the airport at Las Vegas waiting to leave and then fly to Chicago, wait a few hours, then fly to Akron, Canton, then get here. And, man, it was a long trip, and I had a lot of things to think about and pray about and some things to do, but tried to get an hour or two sleep, and here we are tonight. And I'm just the guest host here on the 7 to 8 o'clock Survive to Thrive network hour, but I want to tell you that is clearly a supernatural hour, an engaging hour, that I believe angels and demons will fight, hell will try to contact, and so will heaven. The voice of God, of the living Christ, may be coming through to you. For those who are believers in Christ, you know that, and you know to be praying, laws of engagement. You ever hear the words, ask and you shall receive, knock, you know, seek you shall find, knock, and the door will be opened. See, millions of believers, they're asking and seeking and knocking. They want their families saved. They want their friends saved. What greater prayers and massive intercession could be going on in church services, in believers' lives, constantly, even as the Spirit of God tells us to. You know, the Spirit of God tells us to put up these kind of prayers. Find that in Timothy chapter 2, when God instructs the church with urgency and as a first priority, that massive intercession, massive prayers, and all kinds of prayers be laid out for all humanity, the kings and those in authority, for salvation. It even goes on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, desires, there's the emotional content of the heart of God, who desires pos anthropos, all humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Well, that's right. There is the spirit of error, the spirit of truth. We talked about that last week. By the way, let me say again hello to all the archivers. This month alone, August alone, about 150,000 to 160,000 downloads in up to 83 countries. It'll go way beyond that, but before the night's over. And we're grateful, and we're just glad that you're listening, and we're glad that individuals in other parts of the world, by just simply hearing the words that we've quoted from Christ, have come to understand God does love them and that they can know God. Christ wants to come into your life. Did you know that? There are people that run from that. I ran from that in the beginning. He's coming to bring love, forgiveness, eternal life, to take you out of the devil's grip. Anything wrong with that? Knock, knock. It is Jesus seeking. Now, on the other side of the fence, you know, south of heaven, there's a big agenda going on and big, big doorways. Let's talk about some of the smaller doorways. How about, we're going to have a big show on Thursday show on drugs and the way that certain drugs can open up. That's why they're all going out to take ayahuasca. They want to get back to the old gods, the shamans, who have engaged the dark side and experienced the counterfeit, now are leading others. Just drink the ayahuasca. It'll open you up to the spirits, the same spirits that guided the Mayans in the slaughter. This is the untold story. Oh, we've got a big series coming on the Mayans and the lies and the deception And what they don't want you to know about the Mayan spirituality, the Mayan prophecies, the embedding of satanic prophetic agenda to be released in this very hour for the coming 2012. Well, we got probably 2 to 3 weeks that we're going to dig into this, and it's all going to come up in September. So again, welcome to all, RustIsDar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of MP3s for you in series and materials and so forth. We're glad to engage. We are always asking, wherever you're listening from, just send us a note. Doesn't have to be long. Tell us where you're listening from. I do apologize after being gone a number of days. We're close to 1,000 emails behind, and this does bug me. Because I want to talk to everybody. I want to engage everybody. Down in Las Vegas at the conference there. By the way, ShatterTheDarkness.net, if you go to our site, there's up in the right-hand corner, click on the new newsletter for September. And you're going to find a link that will give pictures of the conference, how to get the DVD of the conference. It'll tell you about the coming conference with Tom Horn, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, myself, Jeffrey Radd, the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, October 1st and 2nd here in Canton, Ohio. I've already had numerous people write me say they're coming. Down there in Las Vegas, we had friends from Michigan. And again, God bless you for coming. I wish I could have talked to you even longer. And from Arizona and from Nevada, of course, and from California and from Connecticut and other places. And so it's always a great thing. So we hope you're coming. We already know friends from Minnesota and other states around are coming to the Canton, Ohio Conference, October 1st and 2nd. So we hope you come. Check out ShatterTheDarkness.net. You'll see there what it's all about. Here are some of the doorways. Now, I have no doubt some of you have these doors open. You see, the dark side seeks. They're looking. They have a methodology. They have an agenda, but they also have a particular nature. If you really knew their nature, you know, if a fish could look at a fisherman's bait and the hook and say, hey, that's a bait and that's a hook, don't eat it. Don't put your mouth around that. But they do, because there's a lure, and it's supposed to look like the good stuff. It's supposed to look like good food. The spiritual experience and dream and engagement and presence and guidance and influence that came in Mr. Hines' life that led him to deep occult sources, dark side sources, so that he would be guided to write a book about how to get to those dark side sources. He's been used to give guidance to the gateways of the dark gods, and they always have a lethal hook. Drugs can open the door. Can a Ouija board open the door? You better believe it. You know how many stories there are of Ouija boards? Do you understand the occult source? You can find that out on the web. Deeply occult-ridden. See, the other side wants us, wants humanity, to have certain sources. Charged objects. Charged crystals. I watched the documentary on the crystal skulls. I was bugged, burning my britches watching as they have this crystal skull that is supposed to communicate, that embedded in it is communication, knowledge, ancient knowledge. Oh, there's the lure, all right. Special, higher, elitist knowledge. Sound familiar? Fallen cherub, Genesis 3. Haven't we learned? Are we that nuts? Crystal skull under some apparatus that looked like a pyramid-shaped thing to draw more powers. They had individuals there that were wearing shawls and things in a spiritual engagement, and they were allowing the people to go up to touch the skull. Now, if it was charged, in other words, demonic presence in and on that thing, then there will be supernatural ability to draw people towards it, like a supernatural magnet. There are ancient places, ancient temples, ancient artifacts, crystals, objects, crystal skulls, a Ouija board. They have, since the 60s, thrust out into the American culture, all over the world. I mean, the Russians have been placated. The atheistic, hurting, cold, empty Russians. They want to live too. Sting said it. I hope the Russians love their children too. I know one thing for sure. Sting, he might not know. God loves the Russian children. And so I'm making a little bit of, and again, feeling led by the Spirit of God, for Russians downloading later on, you're loved. We've been praying that these messages would get to you, especially to soldiers, Psy warriors in Russia, that God may pull you out. Listen, can a medium, can they be a vessel, a doorway for the dark side of the supernatural? You bet. And they can be so incredible. They can be so supernatural. Did you know that predicted by God in the end of days, the dark side will bring demonstrative signs, wonders, miracles? I mean, real. They're absolutely real. Partial, temporary healings and visitations and non-human enhancements and engagements and communications and everything else. It's all real. So is the bait on the hook that's seeking the fish. Yes, they will eventually hook you if you bite, and they will have you for their hellish lunch. Mediums are doorways. Psychics who are real, that have a real non-human enhancement, in other words, they've got communication mounted on them or around them that is sending or enabling them to read and do things. They can give you a reading that will lead you to deeper and darker doors. Just like with the author of the book, Gateway to the Gods. Oh, I mention it this way because I do pray for him. You have no idea how serious. Every single author of remote viewer books have been prayed for. We're asking God to engage their lives. Because from this side of the fence, we're telling you that south of heaven, a massive agenda of them breaking over into our side, a massive operating presence, creating the doorways, seeking individuals, visiting individuals, and they can bring dreams. They can bring visions. They can be on an object, and a person can feel energy or drawn to it or drawn to a locality where a charged, demonized, that means a demon attached to an object. That's all. That's what it means. Or to an area, drawing you to it, leading you to it. There could be spirits all over a psychic reader's house, drawing people to it. You got to understand, the powers are real. The powers are seeking. The powers are drawing. Like never before. Now listen, the two major ones, you know what the two major, there's a synchronicity of spirits too. Spirits that are guiding individuals, maybe through the family line. Maybe the grandfather was a grand poobah among the Masons and been through all kinds of rituals. Well, there's all kinds of dark spirits that will say, you know what, this is how it works, the laws of engagement. We have rights to his life because he opened it. We want rights to the rest of his bloodline since it's so close. Spirits will operate. Listen, you got a friend at work. Maybe you're engaged dating somebody or married somebody that their life is deeply connected to dark side, counterfeit, seems like good but is not, spirituality. Well, guess what? Can that presence in them, on them, or working through the doors they help open try to affect you? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Haven't we learned this yet? If a child goes out and starts getting into drugs, Ouija boards, whatever else, getting into Satanism, getting into Wicca, doing spells, calling on spirits, and get it in them, on them, and then come home, can they bring the spiritual presence into the house? Yes. Yes. Laws of engagement. I'm going to tell you right now that God says we've seen, experienced, both before we came to God and since engaging in the work that we do, you've got to understand the driving, growing, burgeoning, bulging at the seams, that side is communicating to humanity with whatever door they can get. The ancient temples, ancient places, Nephilim architecture, wherever there was a temple that has been built, guided by the dark gods, small g, even though the doorways have been closed in the path, listen, they're alive. They can synchronize, work with, communicate to the other spirits who are on their side. They can work and arrange a synchronicity, a satanic synchronicity of guiding individuals. Oh, I had an experience. I met somebody that believes just what I believe, and they had the same experience on the same day at the same time. Isn't that neat? And it's leading us to an entity named Inki or whatever. Satanic synchronicity is real. Millions are being guided by it and then telling the experiences, opening the door for more of that synchronicity. If grandfather was engaged with spirits and allowed them in, the synchronicity, the issue is the spirits are legalistic. They want they claim a right. You can find out about this in Ephesians 4 when it tells us not to give the devil a right, a foothold. Greek word, topon. Contact, laws of engagement, rights. They are knocking at humanity's conscience as never before in human history. We all see this. We all know this. We know there is this massive, on an individual basis, on a family line basis, on a national basis. Look at Germany and the Nazis. Look at Europe and the spirituality. Look what happened to America. Look what's here in America. Where did 65 million New Agers come from? They've been engaged by the spirits, dark supernaturalism. It hasn't led them to God. It's led them through a series of more experiences and more experiences and more experiences and more until some of them have become writers and channelers. Kind of like evangelists for hell. If you're an evangelist for hell and you're leading others to hell, wow. Spiritually, it's possible the blind leading the blind. If you don't know God, you don't know Christ, you don't know God's laws of engagement, how are you going to lead anyone to God? See, the laws of engagement involve human heart, human mind, human life. What are you open to? Teenagers can open the door to all kinds of things nowadays. In the 90s, the fastest growing subgroup among white middle class kids, Satanism. In the year 2000 on, the fastest growing subgroup among white middle class girls, Wicca. Are you listening? Do you understand that right now there is an engagement? Right now there is a contact. Right now we're dealing with the laws of engagement. The Spirit of God inside of my life, I feel Him all over. I know I'm here. I know this hour is supernatural. It's been prayed for. I know that some of you will listen. I get letters. Here's what it says. I found you by accident. I turned you on by somebody sent me a thing, and by accident, I'm listening to you. Let me tell you, my friend, it is no accident. It is the providence of God. You know what it means? You know what providence of God means? I had a deep Satanist used to get bugged because I use that word all the time. The providence of God means the good arrangement of God actively seeking to draw you to personal relationship and to the power of what salvation is. There's no greater experience. There's no greater supernatural exchange at the concurrent moment that salvation occurs. You know what it is? Hear that? I said the words early on, and I'll say it one more time. Let me read you the most supernatural words. They're of the living Christ. He's coming through these words as if he's speaking them direct. And literally, in the context of biblical inspiration, he is. I quote the words of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person, hears my voice. Now, some people will run. Some people won't read the Bible. Something holds them back. Your sin will keep you away, and the dark spirits will keep you away. What keeps you from reading the most supernaturally powerful book in human history? If anyone hears my voice, the voice of the living Christ, and opens the door, that's you, opening the door of your heart. There's a famous painting of Christ knocking on a door. On the outside of the door, there is no handle. The handle is on the inside only. That's really depictive of what this is. If you open the door of your life, see, this pictures Christ is there. He's knocking. He's communicating. He seeks you. He wants you. Nobody wants you more. Nobody loves you more. Nobody has heaven's breath, power, and the gift of absolute assurance and indestructible immortality. It will lead you. It will lead you in a glorified body one day to see God face to face. So I'm going to tell you again the most powerful words. Millions have come to God through these words and experienced the living Christ come into their life, walk with him, know him. And even if they died already over these last 2,000 years, instantly absent from the body, they were present with this same Savior. John Wesley and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and people all through the 2000s. My grandmother heard these words when I led her to receive. I led her to faith in Christ. She prayed to receive Jesus, who was knocking at the door of her life at 80 years old. She knew she was going to die and go to heaven too. 1 year later, she did. She's there. And I will see her again. But I will see God, the same one that I've known all these years. I will see God face to face. God wants you. And so if you're hearing today, and you know that Christ is on the outside, he's wanting in. He pursues you. What good reason do you have to hold back? What good reason would you shut out God coming back into your life and giving you the gift of eternal life, forgiving, willfully, joyfully forgiving your sins? The power of the blood of Christ and the cross. If you hear his voice and you open the door and say, Lord Jesus, come on in my life. I surrender my life. Come into my life. I accept you as Lord, Savior. God says these words. Jesus says, I will come in. And he says, I will have fellowship. Sup, that's the word for a fellowship. You ever read that word? It's the idea of dining. He comes in to have a interactive personal relationship with you. Not something behind the veil. Not some kind of demon going around, you know, enticing you, leading you, moving you, never letting you know that he's offered you the bait, he has hooked you, and he's going to rip your soul straight to hell. Get out of it when you can right now and come to the living Christ. He can deliver you. He can come into your life. He can come into your heart. What are you waiting for? Doesn't matter if you're a scientist or a politician. Doesn't matter if you're a prostitute or a president. You are a human being, and you need the living Christ. And listen, he's here knocking so that he can have fellowship with you. In all this, the big doorways, I said, are rituals, satanic rituals, and the ancient sites. We're going to talk more about it on Wednesday night. We're at the end of the hour. Survive to Thrive Radio Network. This is Russ Dizdar, the guest host. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you and good night.